Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Trina. Today is the 14th day of September. Welcome. Great to be here with you today. I hope you had a great time yesterday where we left off just to spend some time with the Lord. And, I don't know if you listened to yesterday's podcast. I would encourage you to really feel like the Lord was speaking kind of corporately and also individually. But yes, I really hope that was a good time. You are a journaler, that you journaled. And if you're someone who, is a verbal processor like I am, that you were able to verbally process that with the Lord. But anyways, I am excited about today, just another day in the Word of the Lord, and excited to be here with you today. But today, we are in the book of Daniel. We are in chapters 1 through 3, continuing on with the New International Version for this week. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief officials gave them new names to Daniel: the name Belshazzar to Hananiah, Shadrach to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord, the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard from the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine, and they were to drink, and gave them vegetables instead. To these 4 young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of his time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters of his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. In the 2nd year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, so he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I've had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king, "May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, I am certain that you are trying to gain time, because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is only one penalty for you. You've conspired me to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me. The astrologers answered the king, "There is no one on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time, so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to the house and explained the matter to his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changed times and seasons. He disposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God, God of my ancestors. You've given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we have asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found the man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king what mystery he is asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than anyone else alive, but so that your majesty may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. Your majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron, and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. And now we will interpret it to the king. Your majesty, you are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so will it crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united, any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king that what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all of its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all other provincial officials to come up to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and people of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship this image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whatever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of the gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. I'm here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a head of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This story is crazy. Crazy in a way that I have not even fully ever really understood. So if we go all the way back to the beginning of the story, so we're reading about Daniel's training in Babylon. So there is a choosing of some men, and they are going to be trained for 3 years, and then they're going to enter the king's service. And so some of these people who are going to be, some of these men who were chosen from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. And so, which is kind of like, oh, they're all together, they're buddies. Let's follow them around and see what story comes to be. And this is a part of scripture where I'm like, this is incredible. I mean, all of it is truly incredible. So Daniel, he's not going to defile himself with this royal food and royal wine. He asked the chief official for permission to not defile himself, basically saying, "Can I have permission to not eat this?" And the official's like, "Listen, the Lord, my Lord, the king who's assigned your food and drink, I'm afraid of him. Why should he see you looking worse than any other young men your age? King would have my head because of you." Basically saying, "Dude, I'm afraid of this guy. Please don't look worse than these other people. Like, just do it, please, so that the king doesn't kill me." Like, that's kind of like what's happening here. And then Daniel speaks to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He's like, "Please, test us. Give us nothing but vegetables and water to drink." So this is kind of what we call now, modern day, the Daniel fast. And so they have this test that they ask for. And then at the end of the time of the test, they appeared to be better looking than all the other men that were in training with, which I'm like, okay, interesting. Weird flex, Daniel, but okay. And so then at the end of this time, the king brings them into his service. The chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So I'm not sure how many men there were, but apparently these 4 are shining bright. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until his first year of King Cyrus. So then In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar is having these dreams, which feels very much like a foreshadowing to Pharaoh when Joseph is having these dreams. And, you know, in totally different stories, but like, doesn't that feel somewhat similar, right? Where like he's expected to, or someone else is supposed to have these dreams and they don't get interpreted the right way. And then there's like death involved. It's like this threatening with death. If you don't get what I dreamed correctly and interpret it, you're going to die. And then there's a man of God who steps in and says, this is what it means. Here you go. And then they're promoted. So that's exactly what happened to Daniel. And so then really this shows that Daniel has favor with the king, and also God gets the glory through Daniel's life. Like, he is saying, I'll interpret your dream. Sure. Here's what it means. And so he gets promoted. He goes away. So this is the part of the story that feels interesting to me. I'm not sure how much time passes. I don't know. I could make a guess, but I feel like it would not even be close to what is real. But so we end chapter 2 with, moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. So then it enters into chapter 3, and immediately King Nebuchadnezzar is setting up an image of gold, yay high, yay wide. And he's setting it in the province of Babylon. He's saying, you know, whenever you hear music, you are going to bow down to this thing. Like, right after he has this moment of the Lord's glory being revealed to him, and Daniel gets promoted, and then it's like, boom, Nebuchadnezzar is like, I'm going to make this image of gold and everybody should worship it. And these three men who he already had favor, like they already were, King Nebuchadnezzar was impressed by them because they were 10 times more wise than any other bozos, the worst looking ones that were eating royal food and drink. And so they have this favor, and they already have this like twinkle in the king's eye, and then they don't bow down. And then there is a threat, and there's a following up with what he said. You're going into the blazing fire, into the blazing furnace. And what's so crazy to me is, I mean, the whole thing is wild, right? Like, there's people dying just because they're throwing them into the fire. Yet these men are not even being touched. Like, no hairs being singed. There's no smell of smoke, which is wild. That is a miracle. But the part that really gets me every single time is, I thought we only put three men down there. Yeah, we did. Okay, well, there's a fourth one down there, and he looks like a son of the gods. Okay, so are we seeing Jesus in this fire right now? So this is the part that, you know, really, I'm sure there's so much debate and theological standpoints on that I won't get into, but it this story is just incredible and amazing. And if anything, it's like faith elevating, and also just like the great lengths that the Lord will go to get his name revealed. And I'm just so thankful for these men who lived honest lives and who were committed to the point of death for the Lord and his will. So Lord, I thank you for the sweet truth that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I thank you for these men's stories, their lives that they committed before you, and just all the signs and the wonders that you performed before them, and that you ultimately received the glory. And God, I just thank you for that. And I pray that that just gives us the encouragement that regardless of any situation, any leadership position or training position, I thank you, God, that we can invite you into it and we can serve you faithfully, and that we do not have to fear man. And Lord, I just thank you for that. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I have a special guest with me here today. Doesn't normally happen, but while I'm reading today, I got my little buddy here. Do you want to say hi? Mm. You say mama?
Mama.
You say
Dada? You say pop pop? Pop pop? What about Bubba? You say Bubba?
Bubba?
Ball? Yeah. What about your chickens? What does a chicken say?
Well, that is my very sweet little Reagan Brave. I have her in the studio with me for just a minute, and she is very interested with the microphone, but then also, like, very curious about what is actually happening. When I put the headphones on her, she does not want anything to do with it, but man, she's a joy and a delight. So hopefully that brightens your day a little bit today. But that is all for today. I'm Trina. I love you, and I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, this is Samantha from Tennessee. It is September 6th, and I am calling to pray for Tilly from Florida. Lord, you are the great physician, and you know exactly what's going on with Tilly's heart. And I pray that his heart would beat according to your will, that you would heal every atrium and every ventricle and every artery in his body, Lord, and that he would be able to live according to your purpose. Thank you for your healing. I also pray for your encouragement and your strength in him, Lord. Holy Spirit, please fill him with everything that he needs so that he can live fully. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, DABC fam. This is Leslie from Kentucky, and I wanted to pray for adopted of God from Illinois. She said that her goddaughter's husband committed suicide, and I just wanted to say I'm sorry for your loss. My condolences. That suicide must be hard for anyone to deal with. God bless your daughter. Help her to and her family to and her God family to go through this hard time. Anyone that is also dealing with suicidal thoughts, who is thinking about, like, just wanting to take it all away, just wants to give up, God helps them to know that they have a creator that loves them. And for those that don't believe in you, God helps them to see that they have a family that our friends that love them. And if they don't have anyone, God helps them to find you. Help them to realize that you are all they need, and that nothing you don't need anything else in this life, that they just need you if they are going through anything that just doesn't go their way. And God bless adopted of God who was tested positive with COVID. Help her to recover quickly, and God just bless anyone who still struggles with COVID. And God, just thank you for being a good God and answer each and every prayer, bless each and every person. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you guys.
Hey DABC, it's Renee from Florida. Good morning. I just want to lift Amanda up again and her whole entire family in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now, and we just ask, Father God, that you will help her husband to find the right job. Lord, she's worried about him, and rightfully so, and you know, and you can help him. And God, we're just praying and believing that you have something big and better for him. And Father, with her son who has autism, I have a son who's 27. And I just want to encourage you, Amanda, because my son was diagnosed with Asperger's way long time ago, very young, at a very young age. And I ended up having to take the option of putting him on medication. And I don't know that I did the right thing, but he went through regular school, he went through college, he learned to drive, and now he's working for the state. So I don't know if that was the option you were talking about, but I hope that you will not feel bad by taking a medicine that could help these kids to do better in school. I sometimes wonder if I did the right thing or not. I may never know, but I know that my son is definitely better on the medication than he is without it. I just am really hit by your story, and I'm just uplifting you, and I pray for you and your husband. And I just want to say to Carla, who called in for the first time, who just listens, I also felt very self-sufficient, and now I have to ask for help all the time. So don't be afraid to ask for help. We love you. I'm so glad you came on and said that. God bless everyone.